Psalm 37, verse 32 through 36 will be today's lesson. And it's lesson number 6 out of 7 lessons. So next week will be the last lesson of our series in Psalm 37. And then we'll go into another book of the Bible. Fearing God and not man. That's an important message for today. Fearing God and not man. And the introduction says, though believers may be hated by unbelievers, we must put our trust in God, who will keep us in His care. So the introduction, though believers may be hated by unbelievers, which we know this to be true many of the times, they may be hated by unbelievers, we must put our trust in God. God's going to keep us safe. That's what Psalm 37, verses 32 through 36 talk about. If you listen to these verses, Psalm 37, 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. And that is a passage of Scripture that definitely gives us encouragement. It says, hey, you may be experiencing opposition from unbelievers. You may be attacked for your faith, whatever it may be. But God is going to keep you safe. He's going to protect you. Don't worry about what they may say or do. So we're going to see three things this morning. Number one is the wicked. The wicked, number one. And we're going to come across their paths. We're going to encounter the lost people and those who are against the Bible. Those who are just out and out against God. They're out there. The wicked. And notice what verse 32 said. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. One thing to realize, letter A, we are being watched by the wicked. We're being watched, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. Sometimes an unbeliever may be watching your life because they are honestly curious about why you're different than everybody else they work with. What makes you different than everybody else? Why do you have a good attitude when everybody else doesn't? Why do you speak nice words when everybody else has a profane mouth? And they might be curious about that. So they might be watching you for that reason. So letter A, we are being watched. We're being watched. Yes, sir.
What?
Wicked. The wicked. So we are being watched, but other times we're being watched because they're looking for an opportunity to go against us. It says here, the wicked watch it, the righteous. Now we know also we're being watched by the devil. We mentioned that verse last week even. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour, right? He's watching us as well. Jesus calls Satan the wicked one. He is the wicked one, Satan. He's the leader of all wickedness. He's the leader of all sin, Satan. The Bible says he's watching us. The Bible says he's like a lion, and lions seek their prey. And the way lions seek their prey is they crouch down, they're very quiet, they're very sneaky, and they wait for when you're off guard. When they see a pack of zebras, all right, they creep up, and they look for the one zebra that's maybe not paying attention, or the one that's not as strong as the other ones. And that's the one the lion picks out. The lion picks one out of the pack, and then he goes after that one. Lion can't catch the whole pack of zebras, but he can catch one. And he'll catch the one that's not paying attention, the one that's weaker. And the same is true in Christians. Satan looks in the church and he says, well, which one can I pick out? The one that's weaker, the one that's not reading his Bible, the one that's not as strong in the Lord. Maybe I'll pick that one out. I could get that one. So we need to be aware. We're being watched. And letter B. One thing we have to do, since we are being watched, is letter B, believers must always be on good behavior. Right? We got to always be on good behavior because you just don't know when somebody's watching you. Somebody may be watching you from a distance. You don't even see it. Okay? This is why Christians have to be careful where they go. Right? Because there might be, you're being watched. And they might not, it may even be. Sometimes people say, well, I wasn't doing anything wrong. But still, are you, as the Bible says, giving appearance of evil? The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't even let somebody question, oh, that looked like a fishy situation, or oh, that looked a little shady. Why did they do this, or what are they doing over there in that place? And give somebody reason to doubt. Yes?
I guess most of you know, I live in Newark, and I see a lot of people. And being wise as servants, we don't go out at night.
Amen.
You've got to use wisdom.
That's right.
But also, on the other hand, I should say that I've seen the Lord protect. Because some of you know, I was held up at gunpoint in Newark, and here I am.
Amen.
God will take us to our work.
That's right.
One more thing I just want to say about evil. Our world is becoming more and more evil. Just yesterday, if you don't mind me sharing, I went to K&G. Now I'm working. I have some money. I could buy a suit.
Amen.
So I went to K&G in Irvington on Springfield Ave, and there was a guy. I'd never seen this before. He had cut out a sheet, a white sheet, and in red he painted on it, "Death to America." Mm-hmm. And he was walking up and down in front of the K&G. And I'm not suggesting anyone do this, but I got so mad, I yelled at him. And I said, "My dear friend," I said, "you got it all wrong. It should be God bless America." When I said that, he laughed. And when I went inside, the lady that fitted me for the suit, turned out she was a Christian. I found out later in the conversation. But she thanked me because she said, once I confronted him, he laughed. And he never came back.
Amen.
But evil's getting worse and worse.
Yes, sir. It's getting more prominent.
We need to use good wisdom, but we need to confront it too, I think.
Right. So, we need to be on good behavior and we need to be watching ourselves. We're being watched, but yet we're not watching sometimes. And we're not aware of what's going on. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 8. Titus 2, 8. We covered this verse, actually, this past Sunday night as we go through the book of Titus on Sunday evenings. And in Titus chapter 2, verse number 8, notice how we need to have, if you go back to verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part, the unbelievers, the wicked, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You see, don't give them any ammunition. It's very important, be on good behavior. Yes, sir. You don't have to listen to him. That's right.
We make the choice.
That's right. Don't blame the devil for bad choices you make. That's right. And you know what? As Brother Paul also quoted letter C, for this reason Jesus said to be wise as serpents. Clever. Don't be foolish. You have a real enemy. Matthew chapter 10. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and we'll read some verses here from Matthew chapter 10. So we need to be careful. We need to be watchful. We're being watched. So we need to be watching. Matthew 10 verse 16. Here's what Jesus tells his disciples. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, you know, it only takes a very basic knowledge to know that that's not a safe situation where you send sheep into a pack of wolves. It's not a good situation, not safe. But the Lord is the one that's sending them and he's going to keep them safe. Notice, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, twofold thing. Be wise. Be careful what you do. Be careful where you go. Be careful how you conduct yourselves. But also be harmless as doves. We don't take up weapons and fight back. And we don't, you know, we don't stoop down to their level. We are harmless as doves. See verse 17. This is what Jesus said would happen in the future. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up into the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. And this did happen to those disciples. These disciples were persecuted for their faith. So Jesus was preparing them. He says, you'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Don't spend your days worrying about, what would I do if this happened to me? What would I say if this happened to me? The Lord will give you the words in that situation.
Just one quick verse that helps me a lot. One of the newer, like, chief among the wolves. Mm-hmm. First John, greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world.
That's right. You don't have to fear them.
That helps.
That's good. And then Jesus said, look at verse 20. He said, it's not even you that speaks. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Verse 21, talk about tough times. Look at verse 21. And brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Talking about persecutions. Verse 22, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved, meaning delivered. Verse 23, and a lot of this is referring to tribulation times. What's going to be going on in the tribulation? Verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Talking about that second coming, the return of Christ. Verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. In other words, you know, Jesus said, it happened to me. Don't be surprised if it happens to you. Verse 25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, remember how they called Jesus Beelzebub, prince of the devils? That's what they called him. He says, they called me that, how much more shall they call them of his household? Verse 26, here's our verse. Fear them not, therefore. Don't be afraid of them. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body. In other words, don't fear man. The worst they can do to you is take your life. They can't take your salvation. Fear God. He's the one. All right, fear him. And then verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. He says it again. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. So, you know, Jesus is preparing his disciples because his disciples will face that. And we don't ever know what our future holds, and we don't know, but we're not to worry about it. We're not to live in fear. We're not to live and worry about, oh no, what's going to happen to me if I do this? Or, oh no, I better not do this because I might get in trouble. When it's the work of the Lord, we just go forward in boldness, the Bible says, right? So, the wicked. We need to be careful. Now, why do the wicked hate us? Well, letter D. One reason, letter D, the wicked hate the righteous because their sin is revealed by those who live right. All of a sudden, if a person who's living in sin is standing next to a person who's living for the Lord, their lifestyle looks bad. You see, that's why the world wants everybody to accept everything. Because nobody wants to be told that their lifestyle is wrong. So therefore, it's being promoted and everybody, well, you just need to accept it. And you know, the way the people live in the world and what we see on television and things like that, they try to make everybody's doing this so it's acceptable. But when all of a sudden we have somebody that's not living that way, they don't like that. They get upset. Look at 1 Peter 4. So they don't like it because their sin is revealed. All of a sudden they look bad. 1 Peter chapter 4. And there in verse number 3, it talks about your old life. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Meaning, before you were saved, you lived any way you wanted to. And it lists a lot of things here. Walked in lasciviousness, meaning, you know, just in do whatever you want type of lifestyle, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, which is partyings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. But now verse 4 says, but you know, you don't do those things anymore. And verse 4 says, wherein they, meaning unsaved people, think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. So they speak evil of you because they don't like it. They get mad. Because you don't do the things they do anymore. And then John chapter 15, verse 20. John 15, verse 20. Remember what we just talked about? It says, Jesus says, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my saying, they'll keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, for they know not him that sent me. If I had come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Jesus is saying, hey, if I didn't come to earth and preach the truth, everybody would think they're okay. Right? Everybody would think they're fine. And that's the problem with today. Everybody thinks they're okay. The world thinks they're okay. Well, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen anything. I'm okay. I'm not a bad person. You know, and they might, you know, they would say I'm a good person. They might even say that. They might just say, well, I'm not a bad person. You know, and therefore they think they're okay. But Jesus said, you know, if I didn't come and speak, everybody think they'd be okay. But he says, but now, verse 22, they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus said, now I've come preaching the truth. And now I've come showing people their need of salvation. Now they have nothing to cover their sin with. Now they've been exposed. Now they've been told they're a sinner. And now they don't like that. See that verse 23. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. And then look at verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, you know, Jesus said, if I didn't do those miracles, then they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And that's why verse 25 says, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. He did nothing worthy of hatred, but they hated him because he exposed their sin. And the same thing is true of us. And John 3, if you just turn back a few pages from there in John 15. John chapter 3, familiar verses. John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Jesus says, I came as a light, but guess what? People would rather stay away from the light because they can hide in the darkness. So this is one reason why the unsaved often are opposed to the Bible. Why do they hate the Bible so much? Why are they trying to kick the Bible out of the schools? Why is it so bad? Well, because it exposes sin, and they don't want that. They don't want their sin to be exposed. They want everybody to tell them, hey, you're doing great, you're okay, no problem. Yeah, you live in that life, that's okay. You know, no problem. Everybody's living that way, no problem. And they want to be told it's okay. So what they do, they kick the book out. Kick out the book. This way we can be okay. Nobody's going to tell us we're wrong. We're fine. And that's why. You know, some people wonder, well, why? What? Why kick the Bible out? Well, because it tells them they're wrong. And people don't like being told they're wrong. Right? Why are people flocking to church? Well, a lot of it might be because they don't want to hear the message. You know, it's interesting. Over at the prison, we were studying 1 Peter chapter 3. And in that passage, it talks about Noah. And in the whole world, how many people were saved in Noah's day? Eight people. You know, why is that? Well, because the other people, the Bible says they were living in sin so much. It says, you know, God said that their mind was 24/7 evil. I mean, it was just so bad. That's why God sent the flood. God said, we got to start over here. We got to wipe them out. And only Noah and his family were saved. You know, and the Bible talks about how at the last days, you know, before the Lord returns, it's going to get that way again. And you know what? We need to realize, as those days continue, You know, why aren't people flocking? Why aren't God's people have always been a remnant? Why aren't we the majority? Because the majority doesn't want to hear it. The majority is in rebellion against God. Why are we a minority? Why are we so few sometimes? You know, I mean, there's a town of Garfield, 32,000 people. We're not near 32,000 people here in our church, are we? Why not? Where's everybody? Where is the town of Garfield? Why aren't they all coming? Well, because they don't want to hear the message. And you know what? It's always our goal to get as many people in as we can. It is. But sometimes I think, you know what? Maybe sometimes there's less people. Maybe that's the sign that we're preaching the right message. Right? Because you know what? There are churches out there where a guy like, you know, at the, where they call it the Crystal Cathedral. What state is that in? Is that California? Okay. So you know what? 20,000 people in that church, I think. But why? Well, maybe it's because the message is so watered down that everybody can go in there and feel so happy. You know? So be careful of numbers and whatnot. You know, maybe the fact that, you know, why isn't everybody here? Well, maybe, you know, sometimes it's the message. People don't want to hear the message. We've had families come and visit the church, you know, first-time visitors, and they get the little visitor card and they fill it out, and you go and follow up, you know, then they don't come again, ever again, and you go and follow up, and sometimes we find out the reason they don't want to come back anymore is because they say that the preaching is too tough. They're looking for something different. Hey, listen, if we're, you know, maybe it's, you know, sometimes there's small numbers, maybe, you know, maybe there's a church around the corner or something over there. Now they have 800 people on Sunday morning. Why don't we? Well, maybe they're preaching a different message over there, a message that everybody can just come in and feel happy. And if that's what it's going to take to get more people, then we don't want it. Okay? Brother Paul?
I've been witnessing to my cousin older than I am. He's in Florida. This whole thing started because I said something negative about the Beatles.
Okay. Wow.
But he was in the same topic we were talking about, how come there aren't that many born-again Christians? And I sent him back Matthew 7:13-14.
Yes.
That the road is narrow and there's few on that road.
Right.
So,
amen.
I didn't like my answer, but...
Yes. You know, that's just the way it's been. Is God's people have always been a remnant. All right? And here's the wonderful thing. God does amazing things with small numbers. That's the wonderful thing. Gideon's army was boiled down to 300 men, and they fought against the Midianites, 150,000, and they won. Okay? So God can do great things with small amount of people. So don't, you know, just like I believe it's Zephaniah or Zechariah where it says, don't despise the day of small things. All right? God can do a great thing with a little group of people. Yes, sir.
Right.
That's an authority problem, right? Yeah, sometimes it's an authority problem, you know. Why aren't more people joining the church? Well, maybe it's because they're fearful. Well, if I join, then they're going to maybe ask me to do something, you know, and people don't want to be asked to do anything, so they just want, you know, yeah, a lot of reasons it could be, Brother Paul.
Not getting much sleep last night. One with God is always.
Amen, and that's good. So you know, here we have the unbelievers. All right, now letter E. It is their desire to remove all Christian influence from society. That's their desire. They want to remove Christian influence from society. That is the goal of all cultures. It's just been that way. You know, countries might start off right, but then they drift and they want to remove all Christian influence. And letter F, what does it do to us? Well, letter F, persecution always strengthens the church. Persecution strengthens the church. You know, the early church in the book of Acts, they were persecuted, but it made them stronger. And that's true. So we see the wicked. Now, number two is a word we don't often use, but in order to have a W word, I wanted a word that had the idea of a guarding protection Here's a new vocabulary word for everybody. It's the ward. W-A-R-D. That's a word that means protection. See, I use my thesaurus when I'm preparing these lessons. And get a word that's a W word. The ward. W-A-R-D. It's a word that means the protection. If you're in a ward, you know, I'm not talking about a mental ward, okay? Not that kind of ward. I'm talking about a good one, a protection, all right? So, yeah, don't confuse that. Verse 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. In other words, God will not leave us at the mercy of the wicked. Thankfully, that's letter A. God will always deliver his children in his time and in his way. God will deliver us. God has delivered his people. I think of Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. He was delivered. I think of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were persecuted for their faith, and they were delivered from the flames of the fire. So God will protect. Guido.
I have a question. If God has to punish an earth, right?
Yes, sir. I do not believe so. I believe God will protect us. God, I believe, always protects his children. Just like when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he got Lot out. When God destroyed the earth with the flood, he kept Noah safe. And there's story after story. When God destroyed Jericho, he delivered Rahab. And story after story that we could think of where, yes, God sent judgment to a nation or a group of people, but he delivered his people in his way and in his special timing. So God will deliver us. You know, one person has said, letter B, God is the guardian and advocate of all his own people. Advocate, meaning one who stands up for their defense. God is the guardian and advocate. He'll protect us. And letter C, the Lord Jesus will come to our defense. The Lord Jesus will come to our defense. He's going to protect us. As it says, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him. Nor condemn him, because that's letter D. Scripture verse, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation, letter D. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You will not be condemned with the wicked. You will not be left to be judged with the wicked. You will be protected. So God will protect us. And then we get to number three, a few verses for number three. Three is the waiting. This is the waiting, where we have to wait on the Lord. Because we see things that are not right. We see backwards things where, as one of the Psalms says, we read it, Psalm 73, where the wicked were prospering, but the godly were suffering, and it's backwards. You know, why is this? Isn't God going to make everything right? He will. But we got to wait. We want it now. We have to wait. And verse 34, wait on the Lord. You know, you see things that aren't right. You see injustice. You see ungodly people getting away with sin. And yet you're trying to do what's right and you're struggling. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Keep His way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. He'll promote you. He'll take care of you in a special way. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Everybody's going to, in the end, it's all going to be made right. In the end, it's all going to work out. And that's letter A. All believers are to concern themselves with is doing what is right. You just keep doing what's right. It's like, you know, the old saying with children, you know, well, so-and-so's doing this. Well, don't worry, you're not so-and-so. You just do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about what they're doing. You do what's right. And that's the same message for Christians. You just do what's right. Don't worry about what they're doing. All right? They'll be dealt with in the right way, in the right time. You do what's right. And letter B, as Spurgeon said, the little word wait is easy to say, but hard to carry out. Yet faith must do it. The little word wait is easy to say, but it's difficult to do. We need to just rely on the Lord. It takes patience and the Lord's help. But we need to be careful that while we're waiting, letter C, while we are waiting, we must be aware of drifting. Waiting doesn't mean just, you know, sitting in the canoe doing nothing. That's not waiting. Waiting means that you're looking to the Lord, but you're continuing to serve Him. Don't drift while you're waiting. Hebrews talks about the danger of drifting. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Letting things slip away, we have to keep reminding ourselves of the things we know. So while you're waiting on the Lord, don't drift away. Don't forget. And it says in verse 34 that He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. He's going to bless you. And that's letter D. God will promote and protect us as we do things His way. God will promote and protect us as we do things His way. So again, the main idea here is don't live in fear, as this passage discusses. Don't live in fear of what others may say or do. Just keep doing what's right. Just keep doing what's right. God will protect you. He'll promote you. He'll bless you in His timing when you do things His way. Then it says in verse 35, talking about how I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. You know, David says, I've seen the wicked be promoted. But, you know, verse 36, he passed away. Maybe he's thinking of somebody that he knew. And lo, he was not. Yeah, I sought him, but he could not be found. One day doing great, the next day gone. It can happen that fast. Now letter E, keep to God's highways. There's a lot of verses you can look up later there about God's highways. I'll read one to you in Jeremiah 6:16. Keep to God's highways. You know, there's different highways in the world. Well, there's a good highway, to be honest, the Lord's highway. Traveling on His highway. It says in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Find the good path of the Lord. Walk in that path. And it says you'll find rest for your souls. Okay? Not a worrisome lifestyle, not an angry lifestyle, but a restful, peaceful lifestyle.
Amen.
All right? Now letter F. That's the verse we just read. Letter F. God will deal with the wicked in the end, won't He? God will deal with the wicked in the end.
Amen.
Those folks that might upset us because they've attempted to remove all of Christian influence from society. Those people that speak ill of the Lord, and they're out there. We get upset at them, but God will make everything right in the end. God will deal with the wicked in the end. And letter G, just like David said, they were prospering and whatnot. Letter G, the wicked may prosper now, but could be gone tomorrow. And then what? He says, I saw this big tree, this huge tree. A tree that you would walk up to and say, wow, look at that tree. That's a strong, great tree. That's not going to fall down. And then he said, I went looking for that same tree, and the next day it fell over in a storm. Right? That's how quickly it could happen. Jesus spoke about it. He said, you know, you got to build your life on the rock, not the sand, because storms will come, and they can fall down. So they may prosper now, but they could be gone tomorrow. And lastly, letter H, no amount of power or wealth can prevent God's judgment. He said, I've seen this wicked person in great power, prospering, you know, doing so well in verse 35. And he had everything going for him. I mean, I'm sure he had money. He had power. No amount of money or power can prevent God's judgment. All right? Nobody's going to be able to work their way out of facing the Lord. So guess what? You and I, we don't have to fear people. Okay? All we have to do is fear the Lord and follow His plan. Yes?
Madoff is a good example.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. We have all kinds of stories that we can look to, and yep, and we see how God can deal with them. Yes? Yeah, that's right. If you live in fear, what fear does is it keeps you from doing what you otherwise would do. Fear paralyzes you. Fear keeps you from going forward. And sometimes it's fear that keeps Christians from going forward. And sometimes it's fear of people. It's fear of what people may say. It's fear of what people may think. It's fear of what they may do. And we live in fear. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, we don't do anything. Because we're afraid of what may happen. Don't be afraid of what may happen. Just fear God. Trust in Him. Take that step, and He'll protect you, as the Bible says. God's not going to leave you in their hands. God's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. And Brother BJ, would you close us in prayer?